بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين، صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receivers, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have gathered here today to listen again to some discourse on deen. And tonight's topic is the remedy for laziness. Most of us are guilty of this. We become lazy. And because of our laziness, we shirk in our responsibilities, our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, had mentioned one bayan, we had given some advices regarding this bimari, this sickness. And he says, the cure for laziness is to have courage, himmat, and to fight the laziness. He said recently, some time back, many years ago, he had been on some safar to Burma, different cities of Burma, and he had gone giving lectures, or he had gone for some work. So during these tours, I had to address many gatherings. People would come from far and wide. He would give them some majlis, some bayan. People would benefit. And he says sometimes the rate of 5 bayans per day. So he says that tomorrow, the next day, he was leaving for Umrah from there. And he says, as a result of tiredness, fatigue, occurred to me that there was no harm now in missing one bayan that he was scheduled for. Oh, it was one more Jummah he had. And it was a Jummah talk that probably they requested. So he thought, last week Friday also, because I was making safar, I was unable to give any Jummah talk as such. So today also, tomorrow also, just Thursday, so I say tomorrow for Jummah, if I am unable to give a talk, I am feeling a bit lazy also. So I will just skip it, I will miss it. So as he was still thinking of this thought, and planning to miss out giving a talk, not miss Jummah, just giving the talk, or some majlis, he remembered the advice of his sheikh, as the Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahmatullahi alayhi. And what is the advice? As the Dr. Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned, when you are feeling lazy in carrying out some routine practice, you have a ma'mool. Ma'mool, you have a routine practice. Some, and you have, for example, after Isha, if you are having some fazail amal, ta'lim at home, every single day you are having it, and now suddenly you're feeling lazy. So you see, if it is a routine practice, then this is now when you're suddenly feeling lazy to do the routine practice, you see, this is the test of man now. This is our imtihan. This is our test. So we have two options. I'll give you the khulasa of what he had mentioned. He says there are two options. One is, you give in to the demands and the desires of the nafs now. The nafs is saying, you are lazy. Just skip it. Don't have it today. You can have it tomorrow. You had all the other days. What's there if you miss one day? So if you surrender yourself to the feelings of tiredness and you obey your nafs or the demand of your nafs, so this is one option. But he says the harm of following this option is that you will become accustomed to surrendering yourself to the demands of tiredness, laziness, until eventually you will become a habitual lazy person. Now let's ponder over our own lives. And we look deep down into our own lives. We find there are so many examples that we were doing some good deed and slowly we became lazy. So we skipped it. Happened once, twice, continued until we abandoned that good practice that we were doing, the good deed. Simple example, we read the surahs of the night, Surah Waqiyah, Surah Mulk. Sometimes a person is lazy. So out of laziness, we're saying, out of laziness, he skips it. The next day also same thing happens. Then he realizes the whole week went by, I didn't recite Surah Waqia, didn't recite Surah Mulk. So that is one option. The person gives in to the demands of the nafs. But what will be the consequence of that? Eventually he'll become a lazy person, especially for that routine ma'mool that he had. He said the other option is that a person should resist these thoughts or the attack of laziness. How should you resist it? How should you combat it? With courage, with himmat. And do the job which the person was inclined to doing before he was put off with laziness. Whatever was his routine practice, he must continue doing it. As a result of this effort that the person will make, Allah Ta'ala will help him to carry out all his routine duties with consistency. And therefore the verse that was quoted, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. And those who make an effort, mujahada. We have spoken of mujahada many occasions. In other words, the nafs is putting us towards something else. And we got to oppose the nafs. We got to resist the temptation. In this case, the nafs is putting us towards laziness. So now we got to fight the nafs. And this person will fight his nafs, and he will still carry out that ma'mul. Then you will find there will be istiqamat in his life. And this is what we lack. Istiqamat. Ulama have explained what is istiqamat. I'm giving explanation of Mufti Taqi Sahib's bayan. He hasn't mentioned all these things yet. Istiqamat is luzum uta'ah, where a person clings onto the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah ta'ala has commanded, all the awamir of Allah ta'ala, Allah has commanded us to do so many things. So a person holds onto this. He brings it into his life. He obeys Allah's commandments. And whatever Allah has prohibited us, whatever Allah has stopped us from, then a person refrains from those things. When a person does this regularly, then this is what you call istiqamat. He is steadfast. He doesn't do things occasionally. When is a person gets some josh? Happens to us all the time. Especially in the month of Ramadan. Or a person goes for hajj. Person goes out to the company of his sheikh. And suddenly a person gets now the fervor, the zeal to do good deeds. So many times it's just josh in his life. Some exuberance. Some extra zeal that he has. But we find this not lasting. It comes to an end after a few days. Person takes a coke bottle and you shake it. And suddenly what you see, everything just comes out. And after that, everything just fizzles out and you find everything comes back, the slackness. So like that, we shouldn't have josh. Any amal done with josh, we won't find there's a consistency in it. So coming back to this topic, he says laziness. What a person should do? Fight that laziness. How often you find today is Monday? Like even myself, I feel lazy. Look for some excuse. There's no program. But then we got to fight our nafs. We got to fight our nafs and have this daily or this weekly routine. Of course, there are occasions when person we don't have, so that it doesn't become a fixed practice. That's another reason. Or sometimes it is Eid. Like last week, it was Eid on Sunday. So obviously, Monday people are tired. But if you continue just missing out for months on end, what will happen? The entire routine and this program of tarbiyat, everything just disappears. So therefore we're going to fight ourselves. And we're going to fight our nafs. Nafs will make many excuses. And nafs will play many tricks with us. And the whole purpose is to fight the nafs. So he says that these are two principles. And these are the two, and this is the essence of tasawuf. Talk about tasawuf. What is the essence of tasawuf? He says, on such occasions, Hazrat Dr. Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to read to us a statement of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, which is worth remembering. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah said, when you feel lethargic in obeying some command of Allah Ta'ala, then resist the lethargy and obey the command. Similarly, when you feel tempted to commit a sin, then resist that temptation and refrain from that sin. Subhanallah. I will repeat it. When a person feels lethargic to do some good deed, some command of Allah, the nafs is telling him not to go perform that good deed. His body feels tired, he's feeling lazy. So what should a person do? He should fight that laziness and he should go and do that deed. On the contrary, the nafs pulls him towards some sin. So what he should do there? He should resist himself. And he should oppose his nafs and do not commit that sin. He says, this is the essence of tasawuf. This is the essence of tasawuf. When a person is prompted to do some good deed, he wants to do the good deed, suddenly he is overpowered, overwhelmed with laziness. Now he must fight the laziness and go and do that good deed. And when he is pulled towards and he is seduced towards some haram, he is inclined towards some sin, then he should fight his nafs and refrain from committing that sin. This is when a person, when you reach this stage, that when you are prompted to do good deeds and suddenly you are overwhelmed with laziness, you fight the laziness and you go and perform that good deed, and when you are inclined towards some haram, but you fight your nafs and you don't commit that haram, he says, when you reach this stage, then nothing else is needed. Nothing else is needed. He says, this actually creates in the heart a ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This creates the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing those things, despite our laziness, what Allah has commanded us to do, we go and perform it. And by refraining from all those things that Allah has made haram upon us, despite our inclination towards it. He says, this creates ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. He says, anyway, there is only one way of getting rid of laziness, and that is to resist it with courage. It is wrong to think that the Shaykh shall prescribe for you some wazifa to cure laziness. Many people, especially now, Fajr is quite early. Allah forgive us. The Fajr Jamaat also, the number of people reduces. Why? Fajr is early. He's going to come even more earlier. So now we tell the Shaykh, we write to the Mawlana, Mawlana, give me some ta'weez, give me some wazifa. I'm missing my Fajr namaz. You're missing your fajr because of laziness. Unless a person is extremely sick. So to combat the laziness, what must you do? You must fight the laziness. And you're going to jump off the bed. And you're going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if a person fulfills the desire of his nafs, he follows his nafs, the command of his nafs, the dictates of his nafs, and he realizes, he feels, yes, I am tired, he becomes lazy, he leaves out that fajr one day, second day, third day, then what is going to happen? It will form a habit. He says, tempt the nafs to do the right work. The nafs wants to do something evil, then you must tempt it to do the right work. As that Dr. Abdul Haysab Rahmatullah used to say, that we should tempt, and we should actually induce ourselves to do good work. Thereafter he related to us an incident of his own. He said, one day when I got up at night for tahajjud prayer, these people don't talk about fajr namaz. They farz, they were so powerful. There wasn't a question of any one of them missing the faraid. He's talking about tahajjud salat, which is optional. He says, one day when I got up at night for tahajjud prayer, I felt very much lazy, lethargic. I was inclined to think that being advanced in age, he was old, indolent and tired, there was no real harm in missing tahajjud prayer, just one night. It wasn't compulsory. He said, as this thought is playing in my mind, against this thought, I thought also, these are all excuses that are quite plausible, yet it is a very Mubarak time, this part of the night, when Allah Ta'ala accepts the du'as of His servants. When one third of the night had passed, Allah's mercy descends on the earth. Announcement is made on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there anyone begging for forgiveness that I may forgive him? I therefore thought it was not proper to waste such precious minutes and hours. So he said, I address my nafs in the same way. He addressed his nafs. He said, all right, do not offer tahajjud salat. No problem. It's not farz. But get up and make some supplication because it's a Mubarak time. So sitting on the bed, you can make some dua, then fall off to sleep again. So he says, at once I got up from my sleep, I began to make dua, And during dua, I again tempted myself in this way. I addressed my nafs. I said, when you have disturbed your sleep and you have risen, you are making dua, why don't you go to the toilet, relieve yourself at least, and come back to bed? So he says, when I did this, and I was about to come back to bed, I thought to myself, I came to the toilet. Let me just make wudu, and I'll make my dua properly on the bed. So he says, I made wudu, I went back to the bed, and as I'm making dua, this thought came to myself, that listen, the bed is not a fit place for dua. I should rather open my musalla. It wasn't far, so I rolled out my musalla. And then I went up to the musalla, of course. Allah gave him tawfiq of making his tahajjud too. So he said, with this argument, and I opposed my nafs, I dragged my nafs to the musalla, then I made intention for 2 rakat of tahajjud, and like this I performed my tahajjud and my dua. So Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahman said, that in this way the nafs has to be tempted to take the right course and to do its work. He advised further, when the nafs, this is some lesson for all of us, take this lesson home inshallah. When the nafs plays tricks with you, then you should also play tricks with the nafs. When the nafs plays tricks with you, nafs is telling you, you're lethargic, lazy, you're not well, don't go, don't read namaz, read indoors, you don't have to go to the masjid, it's raining, etc., etc., etc. You don't have to read tahajjud, it's optional. So now you must play tricks with the nafs. Nafs, don't worry, don't read the tahajjud. Well, at least make dua. Or at least go to the toilet. Let me relieve myself. Okay, let me make wudu. Play tricks and eventually you're dragging the nafs to the musalla. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat. To read our tahajjud salat, tahajjud finishes quite early. Allah Ta'ala must give us a tawfiq of tahajjud salat and reading our fajr with jamaat. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahab, he gives a very good argument. And he says, what will you do if you receive a call from the president? And he says, in fact, this was the advice of Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah. He said, you've drawn up a program for reciting Quran, for your nafil, etc. Sometimes you are tempted to violate this program on account of laziness. Now, first of all, we see these mashayikh, they used to have a timetable. They should have some program for the day. They should have a mamulat. We don't have any mamulat form or program. We do things haphazardly. We feel like doing some good deed, we'll do. We get tawfiq of reading some charge, ishraq, we'll do it. Otherwise, we don't bother about it. So what happens? We'll find many, many precious hours of our lives are just lost. Hours will just go by and we're sitting idle. We haven't really valued the time. Nonetheless, he says, you had a program made out. And now because of laziness, you feel like changing the program or going against the program. On such occasions, you should try to train your nafs. And one way of doing this is to argue with it, saying to it, all right, this time you're feeling lethargic and you're not inclined to get up from your bed. But what will you do if you receive a message from the president of the country calling upon you only because he wants to grant you a valuable prize, a gift, or he wants to appoint you with a very high post? What will you do? Will you take the plea of laziness, tiredness on such an occasion? Will you say, you know, I'm feeling too lethargic, tired. I'll take his call later. We'll see some other time. No. Will you refuse to respond to the call because you are feeling sleepy? There's hardly a man who will not be overjoyed at such an invitation and will not shake off his laziness to rush to receive the president's favor. If the nafs responds to the call of the president so promptly, it only means that there is no genuine excuse to respond. There is no genuine excuse now not to respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should consider for a while how promptly you are preparing to respond to the call of some worldly person. He may be a president. He's a makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's inviting you to give you some prize, some gift, or give you a post. And he himself is helpless. He's weak. He's a makhluk of Allah. On the other hand, the king of all kings, one who is most powerful, the one who is the nourisher, the provider, the sustainer, the giver and the snatcher, and he's inviting you. And we still make false excuses of laziness and tiredness. to turn down his call, his invitation. How unjust this is. If you try to cure the malady of laziness by thinking this way, inshallah you can get rid of it. So this is the sabak. What is the bimari? We are lazy to do some good action. So the ilaj of it, the remedy is, we've got to combat it and force ourselves to do it. Do not put it off till tomorrow. Whatever you can do today, do it today. Do not leave it for tomorrow. Do not procrastinate. Sometimes a man feels inclined in his heart to do a good deed. But his nafs again deceives him and suggests that do the good deed tomorrow. Beware that this is the seduction of the nafs. This is the deception of the nafs. Why? Perhaps that tomorrow will never come. It is therefore necessary that you must do it today. In fact, do it immediately. What you propose to do tomorrow, don't leave it, do it today. It is not certain that you will get time, or whether you will have the urge again to do it tomorrow. Sometimes the person has time for tilawat. So do it. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow, because tomorrow you might not have that urge in your heart to do it. None knows whether the circumstances will be favorable, or whether the person will even be alive tomorrow. Allah Ta'ala has therefore mentioned in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. When we discussed the tafsir of this on many occasions. And this is, and hasten and rush towards the مَغْفِرَةَ فِي رَبْ, and towards the Jannah which Allah Ta'ala has prepared for you. So Mufti Taqi Sahib said, I was telling you that I was feeling very tired today. But when I remembered these directions of my Shaykh, I became active. And this is the opposite of being lazy. To become active. So he said, I became active, I became courageous, I gathered that himmat to present myself here before you. And then he said, that these majlises that we have, and these programs that we have, I come here for my own gain, subhanAllah. This is the ikhlas of these mashayikh. They came not just to pass on a message, they came for their own benefit. Whatever they were saying it for their own benefit first. May Allah Ta'ala grant me also that ikhlas. May Allah make it easy. Sometimes some person's ikhlas, and Allah accepts the whole gathering. But even the speaker, in fact, he's the most in need. Most in need. And he should never come here with the wrong intention that I'm going to pass on the message as though I am not in need of it. Never. The speaker is most muhtaj, most in need. And he says that I come here for my own gain. Allah Ta'ala's servants assemble here. You all the bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, your mother and sister are sitting at home. So they have good intentions, good desires. You have come solely to learn about deen, to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to find out the remedy and the ilaj of many diseases, spiritual diseases. So he says, I too receive some barakah from them. I do get some blessings from them. In fact, when the servants of Allah get together for the sake of deen at a place, they receive reflections of blessings from one another. I always attend these gatherings with the intention of receiving my share of the blessings radiating from those who are present in the majlis. So he says, I come with this intention. He gives one incident of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, towards the latter part of his life, was confined to his bed. Doctors, physicians had strictly forbidden him to see or to talk to any person. One day, when he was lying on his bed, his eyes were closed. He suddenly looked up. And he said he desired to see Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was his murid, his khalifa. And that is the father of Mufti Taqi Sahib. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali had given a task to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to compile a kitab known as Ahkamul Quran, Tafsir Kitab, different laws in the Arabic language. So my father came, was very happy. Hazrat is calling me. When my father appeared before him, he said, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah said, you are compiling Ahkamul Quran. Listen very carefully. He said, just now it occurred to me that a certain injunction can be deduced from a certain verse of the Holy Quran, which I have not seen anywhere earlier. When you come to that verse, include this in that explanation as well. Imagine, this is the condition, almost leaving this world, but even at that time, see how alert his mind is, where his thought is going, to a tafsir which one of his murid is compiling on his instruction. And in that condition, some thought came that a certain mas'ala can be deduced from that particular verse. So immediately he calls his disciple, his student, he says, also include this. He says, after having said these words, he closed his eyes and he was resting again. Look here, the Shaykh is lying down on his deathbed, yet his mind is occupied with the Holy Quran and the tafsir of the Holy Quran. After a short while again, he opened his eyes. He called for another person. When he came, the Shaykh asked him to do something. With this, when this process continued for some time, closing his eyes, some thought comes, call some other person, give some instruction. The Nazim of the Khanka, the one who's in charge of the Khanka, and a close friend or relative of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, very politely he reminded Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah, Hazrat, doctors have given strict instructions that you should not indulge in any conversation. And you should be resting, you should make aram. In reply to this, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah said, you are right. But I consider those moments of life which are not spent on some khidmat of the people, then those moments are just wasted. These are golden words. He said, I consider those moments of my life which are not spent in the service of mankind or humanity or people, then all those moments are just wasted. The office of serving humanity, or this position of serving humanity, is something very wonderful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us, in us the love for making khidmat. Try to become a public servant and serve humanity. May Allah ta'ala give me first this tawfiq and this beautiful blessing of becoming a khadim in the true sense of the word. He created in yourself an urge to serve others. You don't have to be an alim to do this. All of us can become khadims to serve the rest of mankind. As the Dr. Sahab rahmatullah used to explain, the dignity of service by an example. It's very difficult to succeed in attaining a certain position you desire. It's not in your power to become the president of the country or prime minister. You see, one prime minister, he went to the asylum to see the people. People took him to a ziyarat. So he goes there, he looks at from the window. And this person comes and starts making some funny faces at him. So obviously the person, the prime minister of the prison, got very angry. And said, bhai, tujhe malum nahi ki main kaun hu. He told the mad person, you don't know who I am. That you're showing me funny faces and you're looking at me like that. She said, who are you? He said, I'm the president of the country. He said, bhai, maybe ye samajhta tha. I also thought I was also president of the country and they pushed me inside here. So, a person like you and I, we cannot become prime ministers, president of the country. Sometimes the desire comes, if I wish I was the king of Saudi Arabia, so every day I could go Haram Sharif and stand by Rosa Mubarak and do so many other good things. And I could pass away there, whatever. So we have the desire. So he says, it is very difficult to succeed in attaining a position you desire. It's not in your power to become the president of the country. Or an assembly member, MP, whatever it is. You cannot secure with ease a good post unless you cross so many hurdles and so many red tapes. You got to submit applications, give written, oral tests. You got to go through interviews and you got to pass through so many hurdles. If after crossing successfully all these hurdles you succeed in securing a post, then you have the jealousy of others to contend with. People will be jealous of you. Enmity, there will be conspiracies so that you may be deprived of the post secured with so many tests, trials, torments. Thus, it is neither in your power to attain a position nor to maintain it. Hazrat Dr. Sahib Rahmatullah offered to tell his disciples a high office, which is easy to secure, also to maintain. None shall be jealous of you. No one will dispute with you about it. Nor can anyone suspend you from it or remove you from it. And it is the position of being a khadim, a servant. And this is in our power. It is in your power to secure this position, for which there's no application, there's no voting, there's no election. Nobody will envy you if you become a khadim and you're serving humanity. Nobody will dismiss you from this post. So become a servant of your household, your wife, your children, your friends, your neighbors, the pious. Whatever you want to do, do it with the intention of service. If you're delivering a sermon, composing or compiling a book, or doing any work of general benefit, do it with this fervor, and this motto of service. The entire difficulty lies in being hakim, the master, but there is ease and comfort in being a servant. The Shaykh himself claimed to be a servant, servant of the wife, children, murids, acquaintances. This is a position, an office, which is to a great extent free from the waswasa of shaitan. Why? A person who has self-esteem, pride, and superiority, what happens? Shaitan will keep on putting more waswasa into him and take him away from humility. He'll become an arrogant and haughty person. He says, let's secure this position of becoming the khadim of mankind. We had seen our Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi, that he served humanity. Musallis, people from far and wide, Muslims, non-Muslims. When a person goes to this level and he humbles himself and becomes a khadim again, which our Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmat mentioned in that couplet that he mentioned about Durban and Hazrat Maulana, he said, a khadim deen, Maulvi Yunus. That he is a khadim of deen. Very easy for a person to just write on his own at humble servant, khadim deen, serving deen. A person who is real khadim, then he will do all these things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will make khidmat. He will look and see where he can benefit the people. Where he can help and assist the weak, the poor, the orphans, the widows. If there's any disaster, any catastrophe, how he can go and how he can help those people. May Allah ta'ala, again, I'm asking you to make dua. Allah blesses me with the same type of jazba our Hazrat had of becoming khadim to serve people. We become lazy. Or we don't want to make that type of khidmat. And that is why they had such mubarak mauts. Because they served mankind. We may know of ourselves how he helped us in our problems. Or we may have come across the type of people he helped. But there are thousands of people who he assisted, and we won't even know about it. Nobody knows about it. They didn't do things for show. We do a little bit of khidmat, whether it's some masjid work, madrasa work, or outside. Then immediately, what do we want? Our placard, our name and fame. We want to take pictures and whole ummat must see. So a real khadim of deed, he'll do things quietly, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give all of us tawfiq. Inshallah, we'll just terminate with this one or two important points where he says, there's a difference between a genuine excuse and laziness. He says, I advise you to resist laziness whenever it overpowers you and to complete your daily routine and acts of devotion at all costs. There's a difference between excuse and lethargy. If one misses the routine, some routine practice on account of some genuine excuse, he's making suffer, or he's gone, he has some other genuine important work, there's nothing to worry. When Almighty Allah Himself does not take us to task for missing some routine practice on account of some genuine excuse or reason, of course, we're not talking about fara'id, we're talking about other ma'mulat, then there is a concession for this omission. Allah does not take us to task for it. Who are we or to impose any compulsion where Allah has not made it compulsory? So if a routine is missed owing to a genuine excuse, there's no cause to regret. So we've got some action that we have to accomplish, but a person has a genuine excuse. Like one good example he gives, he says, okay, then this is something which is fard. It is Ramadan time. He's a very pious person. One man fell sick during month of Ramadan and he could not keep roza because of his sickness. But this caused him to become so distressed. He became so depressed, so sad. He goes to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi. Hazrat see that he's gone so sad. Why are you so sad? Hazrat, I was extremely sick today and therefore I could not keep the roza. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi said, there was no occasion, it's not occasion for sorrow and regret. Because the man was not fasting for his own pleasure. He was fasting for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah has given you permission and Allah has granted you leave not to keep roza because you are sick. Then that fast can be given up during sickness. Compensated, keep qaza later on. This is the rule of, this is the masala of sharia. When Allah has given you the chance, Allah has given the leeway, Allah is making you maaf, that, okay, you are sick, don't keep today. But later on after Ramadan, you keep that qada fast, when you had a genuine excuse. So now when Allah has given you that consent, the person should not feel the regret and sorrow now become so depressed. Hazrat says, it is possible to miss the Ramadan fast or some other routine act on account of genuine excuse which is recognized by Sharia. For example, the person is sick. Person is gone on a long journey, on a safar. And women, they have the haze, nifas, menstruation. Many times the lady feels so depressed. Ramadan came, oh, now I got my haze. Now so many days of my roza is going to go. No, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has given you that leeway. Yes, you will compensate for your missed rozas later on. So these are masail of sharia. When a person is sick, etc. And now sharia tells you that you are maaf. Or you don't have to fulfill that action at that particular time. There is no cause of regret in such situations. Sharia is so balanced. It is, however, not good to miss routine practices of deen on account of laziness. And the remedy for laziness, and we terminate, the only possible remedy for laziness is to resist it with himmat, to courage, and you could become active. Leave no loophole to overpower it. If we succeed in eradicating this disease of lethargy, laziness from our lives, and become active and smart, he says we have done half the job. And we have to work just hard now and strive to complete the second half. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah grant us istiqamat. And Allah remove that laziness from us. Rasulullah SAW had made a dua where he sought protection from many things. And amongst the different duas that he made on different occasions, one of the duas is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan, wa a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal, wa a'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl, wa a'udhu bika min ghalabati al-din wa qahri al-rijal. It's a long dua, long explanation. Just this part where he says, oh Allah, I seek your protection from becoming inactive, becoming lazy, becoming helpless. Person becomes ajiz, he is incapable. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from becoming incapable and from becoming lazy. Ulama explain, a person is incapable, he does not have the power, the strength and the means to do that particular action. When it comes to laziness, he has the strength to do it, but he's lazy. He has the means to do it, but he's lazy. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua for who? Not for himself, for us, for the ummah to understand. Rasulullah was so active, and you find that he would excel in his ibadat. Long, long tahajjud, long, long sajdas. So you and I should make this dua. Allah, I seek your protection from becoming inactive or incapable of doing that action, and from laziness. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make that mujahada against our nafs. May Allah help us to complete our ma'mulat every single day of our life. Of course, there are times when you don't have programs. So you can think and you must know and believe that I'm lazy on that day, that's what I'm not having. That is the truth. So we'll try and make some excuses. So we find sometimes some other person coming, so we give them the chance. Of course, that is to benefit from them. Allah forgive us. Sometimes we get caught up with so many other work. And then we make excuses. But it's important also that we don't fix it that every Monday and every single Thursday we've got to have a program, then it becomes, that's also wrong. Therefore sometimes we change the days, or sometimes we don't have, so that now it doesn't become compulsory. People don't think that now, Thursday you're supposed to be in the mosque and you're not there. No. This is for our own islah, for our own tazkiyah, our own program, so our own tarbiyat program, so that we can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us all His true ashiq lovers. May Allah bless us with His marifat. May Allah ta'ala give us afiyat, salamati, ifazat, the best of dunya and akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.